May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our Heavenly Father. And so we gather today in remembrance. Remembrance of what had happened 104 years ago when the First World War began, and then what happened 100 years ago in that railway carriage in a forest where the armistice was signed. And so as we gather here today on this Remembrance Sunday, having witnessed the parade through Northbrook Street, the short act of remembrance in the marketplace, followed by those who wished to do so and did so, laying their wreaths at the memorial, it is time to reflect on why this is actually necessary. Why do we bother to come to remember? There are those who say it is to glorify war. They can't be further from the truth. It is here to remember the tragic loss of life, the millions who died. It's a salutary point to remember that in the First World War, from this country alone, 750,000 people died. If you want to glorify that, carry on. But there is no reason to glorify it at all. We saw this wonderful thing that's been laid in memory of one of the battles where the man made all the shrouded figures and laid them in London. Made them all for the unknown ones who did not come back from the battlefields of the First World War. 100 years ago, on the 11th of November, at 11 a.m., the armistice was signed, bringing an end to what everybody thought was the war to end all wars. Now would be the time for peace, for countries to work together, for world peace. A total end to armed conflict. And yet, sadly, we are reminded that within 21 years, the age at which one time people used to celebrate getting the key to the door, the world was at war yet again. The time had come once again. Not for peace, not for reaching out, not for greeting each other in brotherly and sisterly love. The time had come for arms to be taken up, to fight against tyranny and brutality, and the will to once again dominate the world. Again, the time for peaceful coexistence had once again come to an end, and people were to face each other across battlefields once more, but this time in a far more advanced state, not in muddy, grotty trenches, but with sophisticated equipment, long-range bombing, doodlebugs, etc., and the bombing raids on various cities throughout the continent of Europe. Therefore, for another 6 long years, those battles raged again, and more lives, both those in the armed forces, in the military, and the civilian populations of those countries involved were lost. Eventually, in 1945, that fighting stopped. And once again, the country set about rebuilding their destroyed cities. Organizations such as NATO came into being with the purpose of setting up a defense mechanism. The United Nations was formed to bring nations to the discussion table to stop any further outbreaks. It seemed at last as if the time had come that it was the chance to put aside all thoughts of fighting and to concentrate on talking and working together. Former enemies suddenly became trade partners and the like. Although there were areas of conflict and the Cold War, the world at last seemed to be concentrating its efforts on peace and cooperation. And yet, sadly, even as we gather here today in the quiet and the peace of this building, there are parts of our world where bloodshed is still the norm. Sadly, again, this is not only contained in a relatively small area, but spreads with the actions of those who totally against peaceful coexistence, those with the need to dominate and have complete control over other people's lives and livelihoods. So today in our reading from Ecclesiastes, read to us by the mayor, we are reminded that there are different times appropriate for different actions. This, of course, was backed by Jesus Christ, who, even though he lived in a land that was under occupation, it was under the occupation of Rome, he never advocated violence, although there were those who followed him initially who thought that that's exactly what he would do, was to drive out the hated enemy. No, he would rather reach out to them to make them friends. Abraham Lincoln, in one of his speeches, said something to the effect that if he could make an enemy a friend, then he no longer had an enemy to contend with, but a friend to share with. That is the message of Jesus Christ. But he also warns us that we must ever be on our guard against the work of the devil, of Satan. Satan, call him what you will. The danger exists that if we do drop our guard, if we stop talking to other countries, if we stop working for peace, which we can only do by supporting organizations like the United Nations, then again we will find that it is time not for friendship, hugs and kisses, but taking up arms, making war, when sadly more and more names will be added to the country's war memorials or books of remembrance. And once again, the whole cycle, the whole circle begins. As we gather here today, and as we have gathered and remembered, as we share with people throughout this country who will be doing exactly the same thing, let us pray that the sacrifices of those who gave their all, yes, in the two world wars and in other conflicts, remember them. Set our hearts on taking that remembrance and reaching out in love rather than hatred. That the time will come when all weapons can be set aside, when Satan, the devil, whatever you want to call him, is defeated, and the world can live together in peace and harmony. For surely, as we stand here and remember and think of the countless millions who have suffered and lost everything, and those who still suffer, that must be the only time the one thing that we are aiming for. And the one way to do that is to take on board the teachings and follow in the steps of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Therefore, may the peace of Christ be our message to the world today and forevermore, that this will be the time when we start searching for that peace until we can actually fully enjoy that peace forevermore. Amen.